Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gilliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gilliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. This is Phil Gilliotti here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
I was ready to say hi to myself.
Well, don't say hi to yourself. That's weird.
I don't
want to
do that. Yeah, I know.
Anyway, you can say hi to yourself if you want. Here we are back on another Sunday night. I hope you're used to the show being on Sunday by now since we're at the end of February.
Yeah.
But anyway, we have been going through the book of Romans, I guess kind of orderly the last few weeks because we went through chapter 7 and we went through chapter 8. And after chapter 8, I think the next one's 9. So we're going to, is that how it goes?
That is, yes. Okay. That's sequential order of numbers. Okay, yes.
Good. So I think we're going to do a little teaching today out of Romans chapter 9 because, you know, the book of Romans, as we've said so many times, is just this amazing story of Paul, the former Pharisee, former nobody more zealous for the law than I guy, mm-hmm. who then becomes the apostle of grace, apostle to the Gentiles. And when he writes the book of Romans, he talks about law, grace, and now it's grace. And we've been through all these things. And chapters 9, 10, and 11, however, are a real emotional thing for Paul because it's about Israel and it's about the Jewish people and it's about his, you know, as he calls them, brethren in the flesh.
Right.
And it's about the chosen people.
Right.
And how up until this time, they, for the most part, had not come to Jesus as Messiah.
Right.
And, of course, up to our own day, the vast, vast majority of them have still not come to Jesus as Messiah. Although there are more and more Messianic Jews, Jews who believe in Jesus, but relatively a very small number.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, you know, it's, we have to look at it in the whole course of, I guess, the history of Scripture and the history of the church and what God has established is that, you know, Jesus says, I'm another fold.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That this message of salvation was going to be given to another fold to take out.
Mm-hmm.
And was it because at the time the religious leaders in their day didn't receive or recognize that Jesus was the Messiah, or was this just part of God's sovereign plan?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
You know, and I don't know if that's something that we actually can know as human beings,
yeah.
Because that's something only God's going to know.
That's right. We're going to talk about that as we go on.
Yeah,
but you're right.
And I think in looking at this in context of, well, you know, because I get into a lot of conversations with people and you can verify if you do too regarding, you know, we get into this blame game of, well, they didn't do this and they did this and, well, that group didn't do this and this.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, wait a minute. The fact is we're in fallen, you know, we are
yeah.
fallen human beings.
Exactly.
And if we don't get past the point of recognizing that God has a plan for us to be reconciled to him, let's go out and share that plan of salvation with people.
Exactly.
And, you know, there's got to be an amount of forgiveness for the past, for the past sins of no matter what church you've been in, no matter what congregation or synagogue you've been in, people hurt each other and there's sin in the world.
Right.
And there needs to be reconciliation so that, God's mercy and God's love and God's grace can flow in the hearts and lives of other people and we can bring that message of reconciliation to people. So,
yeah.
You know, it's part of bringing people back into the
fold.
And
the world's hurting for that now.
And the world is really hurting for that. And, you know, the devil's busy trying to keep people separated.
Right.
Because if you unite.
Exactly.
Look out.
And, you know, as Stephen says this, I'm sure both of us are thinking the same thing. Stephen and I do a lot of ministry in a lot of different denominations, a lot of different kind of churches, a lot of different Messianic Jewish congregations. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we kind of go through our lives with experiencing one group bickering with another group and one group disagreeing with another group. And like you just said, hits the nail on the head. It's like the enemy is just having a field day with that, because
oh,
the
yeah.
more they can keep all the denominations fighting with each other, the better it's going to be for them.
Yeah. Oh, got those people at odds with each other.
Yeah. And, you know, this the amazing thing here, though, is Paul's connection. You know, when he was Saul of Tarsus, he studied in the temple for a long time.
Right.
We don't know exactly how old he was, but for decades,
mm-hmm.
under the greatest rabbi of the time, Gamaliel, and it talks about him in the book of Acts. And he was so steeped in the law,
mm-hmm.
and he was such an intelligent guy,
yeah.
that all of a sudden he gets converted, mm-hmm. comes to know Jesus as his Messiah, comes to understand grace.
Right.
And in chapters 9, 10, and 11 of Romans, he's kind of looking back at his people and looking back. You know, he's preaching to the Gentiles now.
Yeah.
But he's looking back at his people saying, oh, I want them to come to this knowledge mm-hmm. that I have.
And, you know, what you're saying is, I think, true for anybody that becomes a believer and for anybody who is longing mm-hmm. for even their own family members to come to know that Jesus is the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody in their family, everybody who's probably listening, there's somebody in your family that probably is not following God.
Yeah.
And you pray for them. You long for them to come into the fold and recognize God's truth and God's love and God's mercy. And this is what Paul's experiencing, because not only just for our family members in the flesh, mm-hmm. you know, our relatives, but for our spiritual brothers and sisters
yeah.
who are going to come into the kingdom, that we are the body of Christ, because we are purchased at the price
yes.
of Jesus'
yes.
own blood.
We talked about that last time.
Yeah. And if we don't recognize that we are all brothers and sisters through Christ unto God,
mm-hmm.
then we can miss the whole point of what does it mean to be the body of Christ.
Exactly.
Whether you're a Jew, whether
exactly.
you're a Greek, it doesn't matter, because in Christ we're a new creation.
Amen.
It doesn't mean that I'm no longer Stephen, but in and of myself, without Jesus,
right.
I have no salvation.
That's right.
So what I was before really doesn't matter.
That's right. You're a new creation.
Yeah. You're a new
yeah,
creation.
That's awesome. And Paul talks about that too, but that's mm-hmm. a different book.
Yeah, we better stay on track.
We want to get this, you know, I don't know how many shows this is going to take, but probably to get through 9, 10, and 11 is probably going to be a while. But
we could go into the summer. Maybe.
We could probably go. The weather will be a lot warmer by the time we're done. But anyway.
Yeah, let's hope.
Stephen, why don't you read, this is Romans chapter 9. Why don't you start by reading 1 through 5?
Okay. Okay, I speak the truth in Christ. I do not lie. My conscience joins with the Holy Spirit in bearing me witness that I have great sorrow and constant anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and separated from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kin according to the flesh. They are Israelites. There's the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. There's the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, is the Messiah. God, who is over all, be blessed forever. Amen.
Whew.
Man.
Wow. How's that? I mean, you can feel his sorrow and this heaviness that's on him.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the great Paul who's, you know, writing all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got this continual grief in his heart. You know, it says there. I mean, even it says, God will be my witness to this. I'm just having this horrible anxiety and anguish about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's continuously in his heart.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, what he's looking at is he's out preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, and his people, the chosen people, God's covenant people, were enemies of what he was doing. They were enemies of the gospel.
Yeah.
And they were, number one, really aggravated with him because of who he was and what he had become. And now, number two, they were probably doubly aggravated that he's out preaching to the Gentiles.
Right.
And you can just, in those, you know, the first couple of verses, you feel the anguish that he has thinking about this.
Yeah.
And he even goes so far as, I could wish that I was accursed from Christ for my brethren.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of people say, wow, you know, he would accept being damned if the rest of Israel was saved. Well, he doesn't quite say that. He's just like, could wish that. Yeah. But, you know, I don't think he really wants to do that. But right. his anguish is so deep that he says he could almost wish that his countrymen, according to the flesh, the Israelites, mm-hmm. would come to know Christ. He would yeah. even give himself up.
Yeah. And really what he's saying is what we as followers of Christ should embody, is that we would be willing to give up our life for the salvation of another.
Exactly.
Because in that, when you die, if you give yourself in that way, you're not going to lose your salvation, because you're giving yourself for the Lord that another could
yeah.
gain life.
That's right.
And that's the whole embodiment of what Christ tells his disciples, that unless a grain of wheat falls mm-hmm. to the earth and dies, it's going to remain a single grain of wheat.
Yeah.
It's not going to be born back to life and bear fruit. You know,
good point. And as you're saying that, I'm thinking about Paul. Look what he goes through on these journeys. You know, he always goes to the synagogue first because, mm-hmm. you know, the message is for the Jew first and then the Gentile.
Right.
So he's following God's law. He's following mm-hmm. what Jesus said, you know, it's the Jew first and then the Gentile.
Right.
So he says, okay, so he goes into the next town, and if there's a synagogue there, he goes to the synagogue.
Right.
And then they get mad at him. They say, get out of here. And he says, okay. So he goes down the street and starts talking to the Gentiles. But he goes through all these trials. And, you know, I think one of the shows we talked about all the things he said, how many times he got whipped and how many times he got shipwrecked and how many times he got stoned and how many times he got imprisoned. And he goes through all these trials to witness to the Jews first.
Mm-hmm.
And look how many places, even just in the book of Acts, where they say, oh, we got to kill this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, this is how upset they were at what he was saying. They were ready to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is one of their own Pharisee types who, you know, now follows the Lord. And he's bearing all this because he wants to evangelize him.
Mm-hmm.
He would even kind of suffer moving away from the fellowship he had with the other Gentiles, if he could just concentrate on saving the Jews, because these are his people.
Right.
And as he says, you know, he explains his relationship with them. He says, they're my brethren in the flesh.
Yeah.
They're biologically related.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on to talk about, of all the people on earth, they have the best relationship with God.
Yeah.
They're the covenant people.
Yeah.
They have a special relationship. They're Abraham's seed.
Yeah.
The promises to Abraham. You know, and in Exodus 4:22, God says, tell the Pharaoh, Israel's my son.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are God's children.
Right.
And they go tell the Pharaoh, you guys are my son. I mean, this is the relationship that he wants to have with them. They had the law. They had the ark. They had the priests. They had, you know, the Shekinah glory.
Mm-hmm.
They had the law that was given at Sinai.
Yeah.
I mean, they were a unique people.
Mm-hmm.
And they always, you know, saw themselves as God's covenant people, even though they were stiff-necked and they were rebellious.
Yeah.
They knew they were different than all the people around
them.
And when they went through pagan lands, they knew that they were different than those pagans.
Yeah.
And it's there in Psalm 147, verses 19 and 20, it's David writes, God doesn't deal with any other nation like he deals with us.
Yeah.
We're the only ones that have him as our God. We're the mm-hmm. only ones that have a covenant with him. And even Moses in Deuteronomy 4, he writes, no other nation has his law.
And you know, when you think about how did the nation of Israel come into existence? It was through one man who was 90 years old,
mm-hmm.
whose wife was barren.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, and you see that this is the way God works through, as he reveals himself through the Tanakh, through the Old Testament and through the scriptures, that he takes one man, tells him, go and sacrifice your only son that you know, this is the same guy who was barren, his wife was barren, and this is his only son. This is going to be the heir to everything. And God tells him, go up, you know, go and take your son and sacrifice him.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham's ready to do it. He's ready to sacrifice Isaac on an altar. Mm-hmm. And God, and, you know, the angel stops him.
Mm-hmm.
And then God says, I know, now I know that you love me because you were willing not even to withhold your only son.
Yeah.
And we see that, through the rest of the scriptures that God too gives Jesus his only son as a sacrifice for us.
Yes.
And, but he works with, you know, in going back to Abraham, he works with one person and then that person has an offspring.
Mm-hmm.
And then that person has an offspring.
Mm-hmm.
And so the nation of Israel is built first as a tribe and then as a nation.
Right.
And
yeah, it goes from one man to a family.
Yeah.
to a nation.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, you know, and this is how God confronts even the devil. Because God can take something very small and confound. I mean, he confounds the wisdom of the world with the smallest and humblest of people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, you see this is the way that God works through in the stories in scripture. And even in our lives today, he still does it.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't need, you know, it's just how God works.
Yeah.
And if we put on the mind of Christ, you know, I think we have a better understanding of seeing how God works and not trying to work things out our own way.
Yeah.
But how does God want us to work?
Yeah. And as Paul's going to go on developing this theme, you know, he's going to show that since the Israelites had this special relationship, they should have understood this.
Mm-hmm.
They should have, you know, sort of figured out what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, the nations, the Gentiles that Paul now was preaching to and was having more and more fellowship with.
Right.
These were the people that were pagans. These were the people that were making idols and worshiping, you know, 489 gods or however many they had and doing all kind of, you know, bizarre worship services. And he's having fellowship with these people because now they're fellow believers in Jesus, so now they have a fellowship of brothers in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Spiritually.
But, yeah. And then when you see that, and you know their temples were still standing and their stuff was still there as they were coming to Jesus, their stuff was still there.
Right.
Then you look back at the synagogue and you look back at what's going on in Jerusalem and you think, wow, you know, they have the temple, they have the priests, they have the sacrifices, they have the feasts.
Yeah.
They had all these institutions. And they missed this.
Yeah.
And these pagan people got it.
Who didn't have anything.
Who didn't have anything.
Any relationship with God.
No kind of tradition that had to do with anything going on in Jerusalem.
Perhaps not even any knowledge of.
No, they wouldn't have had a clue who Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were or what, you know, what the temple was all about. They had plenty of temples, but it was a different kind of temple.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is such a, this is such a weight on Paul that he says, you know, he always has this sorrow in his heart.
Yeah,
he's thinking about this all the time.
You can hear it in his words.
Yeah, and he talks about, you know, that we had fathers, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, they're the patriarchs.
Yeah,
like you said, they're the beginning of the people. They, you know, then after them come leaders. You know, and then he adds Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. Because he comes from them.
Yeah.
And he even shows in that verse you read that he's God and he's man.
Mm-hmm.
He has both natures.
Right.
He has a divine nature. He has a human nature. And it says in Hebrews 2:16, it says Jesus was the seed of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
He has both the natures.
Right.
So he descends from the patriarchs. And what Paul's getting into here is the fact that these chosen special people had all the things that they would have needed to say, oh, we get this. Here's the Messiah.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're saying that, it takes me back to what Jesus talked about in the end of the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 23, verse 37. You know, he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how many times I yearned to gather your children together as a hen gathers her young under her wings, but you were unwilling. Behold, your house will be abandoned and desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Wow. Yeah.
So even Jesus is lamenting over what's going to come for Jerusalem, mm-hmm. because he knows that they're not going to
yes.
come to faith, all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, I love this thing. Ooh. Well, we're coming up to our first break. We'll get back to Romans 9 in a minute, but this Amen. Is the Gift of Grace. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org. You can hear many of the radio shows archived, and there's a lot of other teachings and stuff on there. We'll be right back in a minute.
Blessed is the Lord, Baruch Adonai, Elohei Israel, Adonai. Blessed is the Lord, Min Ha'olam, Kvod Ha'olam, praise His name forever and again. Min Ha'olam, Kvod Ha'olam, blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel. Yeah.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Phil Giuliani and Stephen Garchar, we're going through Romans chapter 9, and we actually did five verses. But this is probably going to be six shows. No, the last verse there, verse 5, is so cool because he talks about the fathers, and I just mentioned about the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and so forth. But then, you know, when he talks about Jesus, he says, Christ came who is over all the eternally blessed God. Amen. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So it's like he's writing this letter, and then all of a sudden he has this, you know, praise thing that goes on, you know, this doxology that breaks out and says, well, you know, then, you know, after all this, after we had patriarchs and after we had all this stuff, then Jesus the Messiah was here and he's God forever and ever. And he's like, amen. Yeah. it's like he gets into this praise mode because he's so excited when he's writing it. And, you know, the fact that that's the last verse of that paragraph where he talks about how the chosen people had all these things,
mm-hmm.
it all led to Jesus. It all led to the Messiah.
Yeah.
And now Paul, as one of them who now gets it, so to speak, has now come into the kingdom, has now come into this amazing new covenant of grace, now looks back at his people and says, oh, they didn't get it. Yeah. And not only do they not get it, they don't want me to get it. They don't want me to tell anybody about this.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually quite a, and it's no wonder in that first couple opening verses where he talks about how this is just really, really heavy on his heart.
Mm-hmm. We even think back to when Jesus is walking on the road to Emmaus and he meets up with two of the disciples after he was risen.
Yeah.
And you know, when he asked them the question, mm-hmm. you know, what are you guys talking about?
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. What's going on here? And they're like, you have no idea what's going on.
Come
on.
I love that story.
But, you know, as we've talked about, he gave like the best Bible study there probably ever was because he pointed out to them everything.
And why didn't those guys write a book?
I don't think they had word processors back then. They should have their iPads out and their tablets, and they would have jot everything down. But see, if they had voice recognition software back then, it would have been much easier. But you see how he opened the scriptures to them and showed them everything in the mm-hmm. prophets that pointed
yes,
to him.
Exactly.
And I mean, can you imagine that? You're walking on this road and the Messiah comes to you and teaches you that. Wow.
Mm.
That's just.
We should do a radio show on that.
We should.
Good ones. If you go on the website, it's probably there.
Somewhere there.
I don't know where it was, but it's probably there. But yeah, that's, we have to put, you know, if you listen to this show for any length of time, you realize, you know, we always put Jesus in the context of where he lived and his time and the fact that he was a Jewish man and came from the covenant. And then he himself mm-hmm. went into the covenant, as we talked about a few weeks ago with the circumcision and the presentation mm-hmm. in the temple. And
right.
Now you've got Paul, who's in that covenant, who now is having fellowship with a bunch of people who aren't in the covenant.
Yeah.
But they now believe in Jesus as their savior. And he's bringing more and more and more of them mm-hmm. into the, you know, sort of early church.
Right.
And he's looking back at his own people. And then when he goes on with the rest of this, he's going to kind of explain God's sovereignty of how, as you said before, how the plan unfolds, how he chooses people to do things in the plan. Right. And he actually does a pretty good explanation of it.
Yeah. Because like even in the garden, you know, when Jesus is praying in the garden, you know, Father, let this cup pass from me, mm-hmm. but not my will, but your will be done.
Mm-hmm.
And God's will is done. So it's, part of God's sovereign plan that Jesus was to, his blood was to be shed for the remission of sin.
Yes.
And that his heart was align with God's will.
Yes.
You know, in God's plan, mm-hmm. even though his flesh, you know, there was obviously there was a struggle there in the garden mm-hmm. between Jesus, the man, and Jesus God.
Yeah, and that goes back to when we did, a few shows ago, we talked about how he's the second Adam.
Mm-hmm.
The first Adam disobeys and falls. The second Adam obeys.
Right.
And so, therefore, humanity can be restored because the second Adam obeyed.
And it's not so much, it's not so much that Jesus was, I think, trying to hold on to his life, but he saw being separated from God. Because he was with God for all eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And to experience this, the separation from God the Father, that was what, was the ultimate anguish that he experienced.
Yes.
By taking upon himself our sins.
Yeah. And I'm sure most of you listening saw The Passion of the Christ, and even if you didn't, or you didn't want to see it because you knew how brutal it was, we all can imagine the physical suffering that would be involved in what he went through.
Yeah.
And he was young, and he was strong, and he was healthy. And, most of us living today, we probably would have died a lot sooner.
Yeah.
Because we're not, in the same kind of physical shape that people then were from the hard work that they did.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see the physical brutality and you see this horrible suffering, and we can kind of understand that.
Yeah.
You can't understand, though, what you just alluded to was the fact that all the sin of the world was placed on him.
Yeah.
And he has this temporary disruption of his relationship with the Father.
Yeah.
That just was anguish like we can't understand.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think we actually can.
No,
because
I don't think we can.
Because
understand.
We have not been in relationship with the Father from our, from the time we were born.
Yes. That's right. We can understand being beaten.
Yeah.
And we can imagine what it would feel like to be crucified, although probably not really.
Right.
But we can imagine it in our head. But the spirit side of it, we would have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's the way sin can be dealt with. And since we're talking about this, and it's not really in Romans chapter 9, but it's the most important thing you ever have to think about in your life.
Yeah.
Way more important than anything else you're thinking about right now. But anyway, it's something that you have to keep in mind that happened because this is the only way, that was the only way that sin can be dealt with.
Right.
There is no other way sin can be dealt with.
The new covenant was ratified in the blood of Jesus
Christ.
Exactly.
And that is why you can be saved.
Right.
Otherwise, you're in big trouble.
Mm-hmm. That's
not
the only way.
Not just you, but all of us.
It's the only way that your sins are forgiven is by the blood of Jesus.
That's right. And if you think that, if you kind of sit there and think, oh, well, these guys are full of it and we're very intelligent, scientific, and we've evolved into this, group of just amazingly intelligent humans that don't have room for this nonsense and superstition anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You're treading on very thin ice.
Yeah.
Because if what we're saying is right and you don't agree with it, you're going to find yourself in a big trouble.
Yeah.
And if you think that there's many other ways to be saved, many other ways to go to heaven, then you have to think that Jesus must have been crazy to go through what he went through.
Yeah, exactly.
Or if you think you can go to heaven by earning your way in, by being just so good that God's going to look at you and say, I cannot believe how awesome you are. I just can't believe it. So you're saved. Then Jesus was a fool.
Because
he could have just come and said, everybody be as good as you can.
Yeah.
He did say that, and he wants you to be good.
Yeah.
But that act and that suffering is the only way sin can be dealt with.
Yeah.
We're trying to do a little altar call in each of the programs. But
amen. And, as you're saying that, he ratified the new and eternal covenant.
Right.
In his own blood.
Exactly.
And as you're saying, that's the only way that sin can be dealt with. And there are many, many, many schools of thought in our world today about different ways of, earning salvation or if you do this and that.
There's
philosophy. But when it comes right down to it, we look, a lot of times in our culture today, we look to science, and science is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Science can confirm a lot of things that, has maybe baffled mankind for centuries and millennia.
Mm-hmm.
But science can't create a human DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Science can't create the dirt that's on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the ability to create those things.
Mm-hmm.
And to say that it was just happenstance, I mean, there's very, if you study DNA, if you study anything in scientifically, there's, you know, where did this come from?
Mm-hmm.
How could this just randomly happen?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This intelligent,
right,
complex organism,
right,
comes out of this little, minute, I mean, mm-hmm, DNA that is,
yeah,
how small? We come out of that.
That's right.
I mean, if you just even stop to think, yeah, about it for more than a second.
Yes.
I think it has to bring you to a place of, there's got to be something more than this.
Yes.
If you're honest with yourself.
Exactly. And that just brings to mind, too, that the same God who created all that complexity of science and mathematics and physics and biology and chemistry
and, yeah,
all the things that are going on in the cosmos,
yeah,
also provided this plan of salvation that cannot be explained by equations or physics or biology, can't be explained by computers,
mm-hmm,
no electronic explanation for this. All you have to do is believe, repent, follow, and give your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Science cannot provide you with eternal security.
No.
It can't provide you with eternal physical life.
Right.
That's never going to happen.
Right.
Maybe, you know, we live longer than we used to, and maybe 20 years from now we'll be living to 100, and maybe 50 years later we'll be living to 120. But eventually we're all going to die.
Like Moses.
Like Moses, 120.
See, Moses lived to be 120 time ago.
And his eyesight was undimmed, and his strength was good.
Yep.
Because he worked out, he ate healthy. All he ate was manna. That's it. If you eat manna and work out, 120. Okay.
Oh.
But none of this is in Romans chapter 9.
No, it's not.
Whoa. Stephen, why don't you read verses 6 through 9? Because now it gets a little more dicey.
Mm-hmm. But it is not that the word of God has failed, for not all who are of Israel are Israel, nor are they all children of Abraham, because they are his descendants. But it is through Isaac that descendants shall bear your name. That means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as descendants.
It's a little confusing. Now, see, what he's saying here is God's word is never without effect. You know, it's Isaiah 55. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got the Isaiah. I got it right. Anyway, you know,
no
the fact that, oh man, he's always on that.
I gotta keep
he studied with Paul too long.
We got to keep each other in line here.
That's right. But, you know, what he's basically boiling this down to is the fact that most of the Jews at the time, now remember, at this time, most believers are Jews, and their faith is just spreading into,
yes,
the Gentiles. So we don't want to say all the Jews, but
right,
the fact that most of the Jews rejected the Messiah did not invalidate God's word.
No, not at all.
Did not invalidate, right, God's word. So his word always has effect, as it, mm-hmm, says in Isaiah 55. So this wasn't God's failure. It wasn't a failure of the word.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, you know, people think about things like I just put out that, you know, think about this while you're sitting home.
Right.
Because, you know, the seed of Abraham in the flesh, some people that were in the seed of Abraham, Ishmael, Esau, were not children of promise.
Right.
But they were of Abraham's flesh.
Right.
And, you know, grace doesn't get transmitted through the blood. You know, you have to kind of accept it. And not all of the biological seed of Abraham came to be believers.
Right.
Just like when a group of people are all listening to a preacher, some of them are getting it, most of them aren't getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter who they're related to.
Right.
The, you know, grace doesn't come through the blood. And, you know, Jesus points this out too in Matthew 3 and in John 8, where he's talking to the Pharisees and they go, hey, you know what? We're children of Abraham. You know, what do you tell me? We're children of Abraham. God says, We could make children of Abraham's out of these stones.
Yeah, these stones will.
They'll be children.
Yeah,
because the promise comes through God's sovereignty and grace,
mm-hmm.
and now that sovereignty and grace has now been extended to the Gentiles.
Right.
So they're all in the plan.
Yeah.
You know, God says later, you know, I've loved Jacob and I've hated Esau. Well, what's he talking about? He doesn't really hate Esau, but looking down through their descendants, God plans according to their sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob's descendants are the chosen people. Esau's descendants are not.
Mm-hmm.
They're all related to Abraham.
But God chose them to be
right,
the covenant.
Yeah. Because it's not necessarily just being related to somebody. It's he has the plan foreknown, or
who is God chosen?
That's right. It's sovereignty.
And who does God want to give the covenant to?
Yes, exactly.
And, yeah.
And it's his sovereign decision. This, you know, gets into the sort of election and predestination thing, which we're not going to talk about on this show. Ooh, here comes a great song. Yeah. Oh man, it's already the second break.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Oof. Anyway, let's listen to an awesome song about Jerusalem. giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back on the Gift of Grace.
Pray for peace, Jerusalem, city of our God. Their salvation was poured out for you. The atoning of the Lord. Once your streets filled with joy, branches raised up high, shouting, blessed be the Holy One, Yeshua Tadonai. Shalom, shalom, Jerusalem. To you, when Messiah comes to take us home, may his praise be found in you. Israel, beloved, Ephraim, my son. How my heart would thrill to hear you say, Messiah has come. Oh, my brothers, hear these words. May they pierce your soul. Turn again to worship Adonai.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. I can't believe this is the last segment of the show.
That's such an awesome song.
Oh, it's awesome. Whoa.
That's one of Paul's best songs.
We could do a whole show on that song.
We should have Paul on and have him talk about that song.
Yeah, we could do a whole show on any of those songs. I really want to do a whole show on the Baruch Adonai song, because that's really awesome.
That would be good, too. But if you're interested in that song, go to WilburMinistries.com and buy one of everything there. Maybe two. Buy two and give one away as a gift.
Yeah, good.
Bless someone.
Yeah. And he's the only one on this radio show that gets free advertising.
That's right.
Anyway, Paul, just mail in some money for that. If you want to keep this program on the air. Everybody says that. Anyway, but you know, these people before the break were saying about how Jesus said to these guys, oh, you know, you guys are bragging how you're children of Abraham and, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, the other thing too, that they bragged about being descended from Abraham, but they didn't really look forward to Messiah. They didn't really look forward to the new covenant, even though they knew Jeremiah 31:31. You know, that said there was going to be a new covenant.
Right.
So, you know, they just boasted that they were descended from Abraham.
Yeah.
And, you know, God basically tells, well, even back in Book of Exodus in 33, I think it is, God tells Moses he'll have mercy on who he wants to have mercy on. You know, he's sovereign.
Right.
You know, he can do what he wants. And so a plan of salvation, you know, is in place, just like he hardened Pharaoh's heart to show his glory.
Yes.
You know, he does that because he's sovereign.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to show his glory in ways that if the people don't like it, well, that's too bad.
Yeah. I mean, that's the sovereignty of God, as we were saying earlier about how he can confound the wisdom or the, mm-hmm. or the pride of the world.
Mm-hmm.
He can use somebody who's not even a believer.
Yes. Exactly.
To confront somebody.
Exactly. And, you know, he talks, well, this book in Romans 9, there's this thing about the potter and the clay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also in Jeremiah 18. Now, in Jeremiah 18, it's talking about the nation of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
God's going to, you know, he takes Jeremiah down to watch the potter work.
Right.
So the potter is, you know, making a pot or making a vase or whatever he's making out of the clay. Then he decides he doesn't like it. So he kind of just goes squish and starts over again.
Yeah.
So, you know, the potter's in charge of what he's making. You know, so here, in fact, we should probably read that.
Jeremiah 18?
Pretty cool. Yeah, read that. Do you have it handy?
Yeah. This word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Rise up, be off to the potter's house. There I will give you my message. I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at a wheel. Whenever the object of clay which he was making turned out badly in his hand, he tried again, making of the clay another object of whatever sort he pleased. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Can I not do to you, house of Israel, as this potter has done, says the Lord? Indeed, like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, house of Israel. Sometimes I threaten to uproot and tear down and destroy a nation or a kingdom. But if that nation, which I have threatened, turns from its evil, I also repent of the evil which I threatened to do.
Mm.
Sometimes again I promise to build up and to plant a nation or a kingdom. But if that nation does what is evil in my eyes, refusing to obey my voice, I repent of the good with which I promise to bless it.
Mm. Yeah.
That says a lot.
Yeah. And the clay can't really say to the potter, and Paul's going to talk about this later, the clay can't say to the potter, why'd you make me this way? You know, why'd you make me into a vase instead of a cup?
Yeah.
Or why did you make me, you know, a short vase instead of a tall vase? The clay doesn't have the right to say to the potter, why did you make me this way?
Yeah.
Because he's the sovereign one.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think I should read 11 and 12 as well.
Yeah.
Because it goes along with what you're saying. And now, tell this to the men of Judah and the citizens of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord, take care. I am fashioning evil against you and making a plan. Return, each of you, from his evil ways. Reform your ways and your deeds. But they will say, no use. We will follow our own devices.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of us will behave according to the stubbornness of his evil heart.
Yeah.
And see what, you know, what you're saying and what this is saying in Jeremiah and what Paul's saying in Romans. You may have been of the house of Israel.
Right.
But your heart was not of God.
Exactly.
And in Jeremiah here, it really
that's right.
brings out
yes.
that even though you were of Abraham's right. seed, you disobeyed God.
Right. Exactly right. And this is basically what he's talking about. We're not going to read all these verses, but like from, you know, 12 down to 21, he's talking about this.
Yeah.
And I'll have mercy on who I'll have mercy. Even quotes the passage that I referred to earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you can't, the potter has power over the clay.
Mm-hmm.
He can use one lump to make a vessel for honor and another one to make a vessel of dishonor.
Mm-hmm.
And the clay yeah. can't say to the potter, what are you doing?
Right.
Because he can do whatever he wants. He's sovereign. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly right. So, I kind of like that saying, grace doesn't come through bloodlines, because when these guys say, hey, we're children of Abraham, Jesus says, no, because if you were children of Abraham, you'd be doing Abraham kind of stuff.
It's more about it. In that regard, it's more about being entitled to something
that's
because
right.
you think you are.
Exactly.
As opposed to following the Lord.
I can't believe this is the end of the show.
Wow.
I guess we're going to do chapter 9 again next week.
Yes, we are.
Wow. Well, this has been great. We went on a lot of stuff, but it's been good.
Yeah.
Good salvation message. And I hope you had an awesome Lord's Day today. We're going to be back with you next week with another edition of The Gift of Grace.
So have an awesome week, everyone, and we'll hear you back here next Sunday on The Gift of Grace. Good night. God bless. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.